Let's turn to Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, you know, many times in Bible studies and lesson material, you'll have a book or a group of lessons titled A Walk Through a Certain Bible or a Book of the Bible, so a walk through Matthew or a walk through Mark, etc., and so on. But tonight we're going to do a sprint through Ephesians. And really we're going to focus on five main lessons that we can apply to our lives from the book of Ephesians. Quick background here. Paul is writing this epistle during his first imprisonment time, and he's writing to a faithful congregation here at Ephesus. So really unique in the standpoint that you have some of the other letters from Paul and his epistles going out to different areas or congregations, and he's having to deal with certain issues that have that are arising within these congregations. And many times you have specific issues, even individuals, that he's pointing out to correct and to address some of the things that are going on. Ephesians is a unique epistle that he is really addressing a congregation, again, that is faithful and reminding them of all the great things that they have in Christ and encouraging them to maintain this faith and to stay faithful throughout their lives. In our first point tonight, we look at five different lessons that we can take through this sprint through Ephesians. It comes in the first chapter. We're going to read verses 1 through 10, where we see that we have been chosen. Ephesians 1, 1 through 10. Paul writing here, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. And then verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. So really we highlight verse 4 here, backing up, where Paul writes, he chose us in him, even before the foundation of the world. What's Paul talking about here? Well, he's talking about the perfect plan of salvation that God has had in store for us even before the creation of the world. And it's interesting that we obviously don't have an insight into that in the revealed word to us, but we have hints at that immediately in the very beginning of the Bible. Genesis 3 and 15, we have the famous prophecy where God's speaking directly to Satan and telling him what is coming. Jesus ultimately coming into the earth and crushing the final blow to the serpent. Multiple prophecies throughout the Old Testament ultimately lead us to Jesus coming and fulfilling this plan, giving us the opportunity to have salvation. God chose us. God chose you. And that is an encouraging thought as we begin our five points or five takeaways from this sprint through Ephesians. You have been chosen. In 2 Peter 3, verse 8 and 9, Peter writes, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This piece of scripture by Peter reminds us that this predestination here is not talking about a certain individual, but rather we're talking about God's plan to save the church. Again, also a reminder, this epistle is written to the faithful, or the faithful members of Christ, to the church at Ephesus. The predestination does not apply to God singularly picking out people, randomly choosing who he saves, but rather it's talking about his perfect plan, even before we knew of time, to save the church, which Jesus gave himself for and is now reigning over in heaven. So that's the first point. You have been chosen. You have been adopted as sons of God. Number two, let's read verses 11 through 14 of the same chapter. Paul writes here, still in Ephesians 1, "In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory." So we've been chosen, we've been set apart as the church. What ultimately is the reward for this group of people? Well, right here we see it is an inheritance. It is an inheritance and a hope and a promise and a guarantee sealed by God himself that if we remain faithful in that chosen group within the church, we have a hope of eternal life with him. So you've been chosen. You've been chosen for a purpose, and you have an inheritance waiting for you if you remain faithful. And with that, our third point is you have peace in Christ Jesus because of that. In chapter 2, in verses 11 through 18, we see this talked about or written about by Paul. Ephesians 2, 11 through 18. "Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Verse 14, here's the key point. "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father." Paul writing here mainly to a group of Gentiles, saved believers, Christians, encouraging them that what they have now is far greater than the old covenant, far greater than what any group of people has ever had before, explaining that the perfect sacrifice of Jesus has brought these two groups together, and it has brought peace. What a thought, a peace-bringing sacrifice that united all mankind. So we know we have been chosen, we know that we have an inheritance, and because of these two things, we know that we have peace in Christ Jesus. And then we know because of this that we have a role that we need to actively partake in the church. In chapter 4, flipping over a few pages of Ephesians, verses 11 through 16, Paul continues his thoughts and he says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Verse 14, "That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The key point to take away here is that there are active leaders in the church today. We have an established leadership as dictated by God, commanded through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the revealed word, but everyone has a part to play. Whether you're an elder, a deacon, an evangelist, a teacher, or as verse 16 says, a member of the body of Christ that is there to work with those people to make the entire body a complete and functioning system. We all have our part to play. We all have a role in the church. And it's our job, not only as the leaders of the church, if you're in one of those positions, but as members to help each other to the ultimate goal, to that inheritance that we talked about earlier. So we know we've been chosen. We know we have an inheritance. We know because of that we have peace in Christ Jesus, and we have an active role that we need to be partaking in. And then finally, and most importantly, to the encouragement of each of us today, we have all the tools to be successful. In Ephesians 6, verses 13 through 17, Paul is concluding his thoughts here to the church of Ephesus, and he gives one final piece of encouragement here. He says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." We have every tool to be successful. And most importantly, we're talking about the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. We have it within our hands on a daily basis to meditate upon, to learn from, to ultimately take out into the world and bring other people to these great promises that we have here within the epistle to the Ephesians. So we've been chosen. We have an inheritance. We have peace in Christ Jesus because of this. We all have an active role to play, and we should have great motivation to carry out our roles and do everything that we can to live faithful, to help one another, but to also bring others to the great inheritance that we have been promised. How about you today? If you're a member of the church, are you doing everything in your power to show others the great blessings that can be found in Christ Jesus? Are you yourself living out the active role that you know that you should be? We each have a role, and even if it's just to be a faithful Christian, to support the body and do everything that you can in your power to help those around you, you still have something that you must do. If you're not where you should be in that role, if you need prayers of the church, we encourage you to come home. That's what we're here for tonight, to encourage each other, to help each other get to heaven, and to make sure that each of us leaves this building tonight in the right place with God. Maybe you've never obeyed the gospel. There is no greater time to obey than tonight. That peace, that inheritance, that assurance that's found within Christ in the church is offered to you tonight, not by us, but by Jesus himself. If you obey the gospel, if you're willing to believe that Jesus is who he says he is, the Son of God, repent of your sins or to turn from your former lifestyle and to walk anew, raised with him in righteousness and modeling your life after everything that is within this sword of the Spirit, the word of God, if you confess him and ultimately be baptized with him, he will add you to the church, and you have that promise, that hope, that assurance from God himself that you will have eternity with him in heaven one day.